So there's a Tosfos on the right side, Alma, and a Tosfos below that, the third one, Ve'i. And Omar Ma, which is right in the middle, is on the line that begins with the word Harbe. Omar Ma, V'chachomim Omrim Berosho V'chamishosov V'chamishisov. What are the Shita of the Chachomim all about? If you recall, we have a parsha in Vayikra He that deals with what's called Keren Chomesh V'Osham. And the case is where the plaintiff sues the defendant. The defendant takes an oath to protect himself and exempt himself from payment. And it turns out that this oath was a false oath. Let's say, for example, the defendant comes forward, the nitba, and he admits, he confesses to the fact that he did this terrible thing, and he really stole, he embezzled money, and he took a false oath, and now he wants to do tshuva. So the Torah says in such a case, he has to pay keren. Obviously, keren means he's got to return the value, the money that he stole. Number two, he has to add a chomesh. And number three, he has to bring a karban asham. And the issue here is whether or not we see these three elements as one indivisible package, or can we split them in half? For example, we have a case of gonev, of a ganav who took a shvua, or we have a case of a shomer chinam who was towing tanis ganav and he took a shvua. And in those cases, the Torah has a parsha of kefel. What the Chachamim want to establish is that we have to separate between these two parshas. The parsha of Kefel, which is written in Mishpatim, in Sefer Shmos, and the parsha in Vayikra of Chomesh should be separated in such a way that never the twain shall meet. There's no overlap. And the Chachamim are going to derive this from an extra word in the Pasuk. Because the Torah says, V'chamishasav Yosef Olav, and in that Pasuk it says, Berosho. The word Rosh here is referring to the main principle, what we call the Keren. And the Chamishas of Yosef Olav, that Chomesh is an attachment to Rosho, to the Keren. And the way the Chachamim derive their conclusion that we have to separate these two parashios, and therefore whenever there's Kefel, there's no Chomesh. Whenever there's Chomesh, there's no Kefel, is by attaching Chomesh, the Chamishos of Yosef Olav, to the word Berosho. Berosho means a case where the only payment that he has to shell out for is Berosho. It's called Karen. So when there's Karen, then the Chamishos of Yosef Olav, then he adds a Chomesh. But when there's something in additional to Karen, which is called Kefel, then there's no Chomesh. So Omar Mar, let's see it inside. Chachamim Omrim Berosho V'chamishosav. So the Torah adds these two words and combines them. Mamon Hamishtale Berosho, which means money that can only be collected Berosho. Again, the word Rosho is referring to Karen. Is Mosif, I would add the word Olav, Mosif Olav Chomesh. You add to it a Chomesh. The flip side is mamon she'eno mishtalim barosh. If you have money that in addition to Karen has to be paid beyond Karen, you exceed beyond Karen, that means you have to add a kefel, you may have to add if there's tficha mechira dalet vehei. When the payment exceeds beyond rosho, beyond Karen, then ein mosif chomesh. He doesn't add a chomesh. And that's how the Chachamim separate these parshios. Okay? But here we get to the following question. Rabosa, can you listen carefully for a moment?
Hey, is it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Any Karen payment ever? That you add this fifth?
Again, the case where the Torah says you chayav a Karen, you add a Chomesh, you pay a fifth on top of the Karen, is a case where there was a Toveya, he had a Tvias Mamon, there was a Nitba. The Nitba denied that he had so-and-so's mamon. I don't have your mamon. It got lost, it got stolen, I never took it, I never this it, I never that it, I returned it to you, whatever his claim is. And he took a shvur to support that claim. Now when he comes forward to confess his crime, the Torah says he has to add a chomesh. It's not enough that he pays back the nignav for the money that he, to reimburse him for the money that he stole from him. He's got to add to boot another chomesh. And the Torah adds, that he has to bring a Korban Asham because he took a Shvuas Sheker, and as we discussed yesterday, Rashi says the Kapara for the Shvuas Sheker is achieved through the Korban Asham.
But where's the meaning from Kefa?
In other words, Berosho. He's saying, what is the extra word Berosho? That's called a miut. When the Torah adds an extra word, it's coming to exclude it. When is it Chamishosav Yosef? All of it's only when it's what? When it's Rosho. Rosho means the exclusive payment is Karen. When there are other additional payments, then there's no Yosef Chamishosav Olav. There's no Tosefes Chom.
That's just saying that.
I can't see you, Alan, but I hear your voice. It's like a shade.
I can be just as annoying even though you can't see me. when it says Chamishosav,
right,
that tells you that it's calculated on the Karen. But it doesn't tell you anything about that there can't be a peso besides that there can't be
a... No, he's saying, the Chacham is saying like this, it's not that it's calculated onto the Kerem, but it's added to the Kerem.
So it's added to the Kerem, so, but it was still, there's nothing to do...
But the word Berosho is telling you that it's added to Kerem exclusively, meaning there are no other payments other than Kerem. So if there are no other payments, the Torah says add a chomesh. But if there's Kerem plus, other chiyuvim, we'll call it Kefel, we'll call it Dal Vehei, then there's no Yosef, the Chamishas Yosef Olam. But here's the question. Remember we said that this parasha in Vayikra Hey has three parts to it. There's A, B, and C. Part C is the Karban Asham.
Right.
That's called an Asham Gzelos. An Asham Gzelos for the case where he took a Shvuah Sheker and he stole through that Shvuah Sheker. Is that also part of the Chachamim of excluding what I call the overlap? And that's what we're going to study now. The Chachamim are going to say the following. When the Torah, through the extra word Berosho, excludes the overlap and separates between Keren V'Chomish on the one side and Keren and Kefal on the other side and says, never the twain shall meet, and there's no overlap. If you're Chayev Kefal, then you're not Chayev Chomish. If you're Chayev Chomish, you're not Chayev Kefal. Where does Asham fit in? Because now if we revert back to Parshas Mishpatim, namely to the parasha of Ganav, there's room to say that if the Ganav took a Shvuah Sheker, or in the classical case of Toein Tainas Ganav because Nisham Rechinim says it was stolen, he took a Shvuah to bolster, to sustain his claim. Now it turns out that Aden testified that he lied under oath, and he really has the object stashed away, as we said, in his attic, right, wherever it's locked up in his safe. In such a case, should he bring a Karban Asham for the Shvuah Sheker that he took? Again, what we're saying is that he's not going to be Chayav a Chomesh if he's Chayav Kefel, because the Chacham have already made that split and separated between Kefel and Chomesh, but where does Karban Asham fit in? Is it a package deal that we should now completely remove the Karban Asham? And again, I'm just presenting the question in a very, you know, very superficial way. But let me tell you up front that the answer to that question is going to be a controversy between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So let's see the Shita of the Chacham. The Chacham say the following. Aval Asham...
Wait.
Okay, the Avid, it's on Samachem, the base. Aval Asham, Maisi. But the Karban Asham he brings. What does that mean, the Karban Asham he brings? Maishna Chomesh de Lo Meshalem. Now you're telling me that if he's Chayev Kefel, like for example the case of Toin Tainis Ganav Pikadon, he's not going to be Chayev Chomesh, and we're completely pushing aside the Parash of Chomesh in Vayikra Hei. Dichsiv, because of the drasha Berosho v'chamishasov, is Asham Nami lo meshalem. In that very same pasuk, it says Berosho v'chamishasov v'es Hashomo. And therefore the Torah, in a sense, weaves together these three elements into one indivisible package. You've got A, Berosho, which is Keren. You've got B, Chamishasav Yosef Olav. And you've got C, V'as Hashomo. When you have Chamishasav, right, then you have Hashomo. Then you bring a Karban Asham. But in the case where you don't have Chamishasav, why? Because it wasn't Berosho, meaning exclusively it was Kefel as well, then you shouldn't have a Karban Asham. So the Gemara now is attacking the Chachamim. The Chachamim are saying that a ganav or a Tohen Tainis ganav bikad who took a shvur sheker, although he doesn't have to pay a chomesh, there is no parish of chomesh in this place because of Barosho, and he only pays kefel. Well, at least let him. Or what about the asham? So the Chacham say, well, the carbon asham he didn't get away with because he took a karma, he took a shvuas sheker. So the shvuas sheker engenders a chiv karbon on a carbon asham. If that be the case, I don't understand. Be consistent. How do you have the right to cut and split between chomesh and asham? Chomesh and asham are written in the very same verse in the Torah. If you're telling me there's no chomesh here, and what excludes chomesh? Kefel. Then, by virtue of the same derivation, the chomesh, once it's excluded, should drag with it the asham, and the kefel should exclude not only the chomesh, but also what? The asham.
So why doesn't it work the other way around too? So if he's not moda, then he can't bring an asham. If he can't bring an asham, he can't bring a chomesh. If he can't bring a chomesh, then he owes kefel.
Well, let's go through the two scenarios. Let's say the first scenario that we're talking about in kefel, and in both in kefel and chomesh, is where the two eidim testify that he perjured himself, that he's really holding on to the moment of the toveh. Correct. So in that case, the Gemara is saying that once the eidim testify that he's holding on to the money of the toveh, if he was, for example, a tohen tanis ganav b'bikudin, he has to pay kefel, right, and he's excluded from chomesh. Say the chachamim, in that very case, he brings a karban asham.
If he's moder.
Okay, but I'm saying first the eidim came, right, they established that he has to pay kefel.
Right.
Say the chachamim, they also established that he has to bring a karban asham. Again, there may be dinim and kodshim that require that he admit his guilt, but whatever have you. On that very din, that according to Chacham he brings a Karban Asham, the Gemara attacks. The Gemara says, how can he bring a Karban Asham? You yourself admit that he doesn't pay Chomesh. What precludes Chomesh? The Kefel. If the Kefel is Mafkia Chomesh, the Kefel should be Mafkia the Karban Asham. Why? Because Karban Asham and Chomesh are written in the same pasuk. So you're telling me that the word Barosho is coming to exclude Kefel and Chomesh, meaning that either you pay... I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said Kefel or Chomesh. If the word Barosho is coming to exclude Keren in the case where he pays Kefel, then the same word Rosho should be applied throughout the pasuk to exclude Asham.
You said you said exclude Keren?
No, to exclude, I'm saying that excludes chomesh. I'm sorry, whenever I say the word Karen, I mean chomesh. Okay, from now on.
Okay.
Sorry, I apologize. You know, it's the Gemara says about Basra, Kevan the all Shabesh the all. You know, the Gemara says that once the Malame taught the Tashbar a mistake, he says, he'll never be able to get it out. You know, once he made the mistake, you know. So we always remember the Havim, you know, we never remember the Maskar. So what I mean to say is that Barosho comes to exclude Chomesh, and the Gemara says we should now take the very next step, and Barosho should exclude not only Chomesh, but also Asham. That's the Gemara's cash. So the Gemara answers, Amri Loch Rabbanon, Es Paske Kra. A very interesting methodology here. You know, when we read the Torah, we very rarely pay attention to the word S. You know, it's part of the syntax of a sentence. But in this case, S plays a very major role. You know, the Gemara has a question elsewhere whether we darshan all the S in Shabbat Torah. In this case, we're going to darshan the S, and the S becomes a split and takes a parsha and splits it to two parts. In this case, what we're going to do is we're going to take Keren and Chomesh, and that's going to create one entity, one unit. And then we're going to take Asham, and that's a separate entity, a separate unit unto itself. What splits the two? The word S. So let's read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Berosho v'chamishosav v'es Ashamo. Es Ashamo is telling you, push Ashamo out of this triangle. It forms a separate entity. And even if there is no Chomesh, I got that right this time. You know, because if you make a mistake on a mistake, you get it right. That's double negative. If even if there's no Chomesh, then you bring a carbon Asham. So again, it's very fascinating. There are two parshios, but they overlap. There's a parsha of Kefel, there's a parsha of Chomesh, and they overlap in the form of the Asham. The Asham will be common to both cases. So therefore, Toin Tan has got to be Kodon, who took a Shvu Sheker, and now we prove that he has stolen the goods of the Mafkid, he has taken a false Shvu, he will bring a Karbon Asham. That's the Sheet of the Chacham. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, what does he hold? After all, according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, these two parshas are totally separated, and that means that Keren, Chomesh, and Asham will never apply in the case of Kefel, so the Toin Tan is Ganav Bikon will not bring a Karbon Asham. What is he going to do with that word S? S Paski Lekra. Ah, the Gemara says you're right. Fundamentally, Rav Shimon ben Yochai embraces the methodology of es paski lekro. But here's an extra letter. It says in the pasuk ve es hashama, and this is called a vav hamachaber. In other words, the vav comes to tell you. But again, then you're going to have to ask the question: why did you write the word es? But okay, we'll get to that afterwards. But fundamentally, what the Gemara wants to point out is, according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the vav of the es undoes, if you will, undermines the paske lekra of the S, because the vav is coming to connect it. Arve kra means to lechaber, right? La arve is a kra means lechaber, to be mechaber the chiyuv karbon with all other chiyuvim of the same ilk, of the same sort. Meaning, whenever the shvua sheker is mechaber karbon, you have to bring the karbon osh, without any exception. V'rabbanon amri loch, what are the rabbanon going to do with the extra vav? And the Gemara answers, Lo lichtov rachmona lo vav velo es. If Rav Shimon ben Yochai is correct, why did the Torah deliberately confuse me by adding the S, which is a paski lekra, and then adding the vav to the S in order to negate, or shall I say, to undermine the S? Just leave out both of them. Lo lichtov rachmona lo vav velo es, and then we would understand. Everything would be fine. Because, again, until we have the Paski, the Krah, we assume that the Korban Asham is part of the package of Chomesh. And since the word Barosho excludes Kefel from Chomesh, therefore it excludes Kefel from Korban Asham as well. Then the Torah adds the word Ves, just to confuse us. According to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, leave out the S, leave out the Vav, and the Mele, we understand the conclusion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, namely that Asham is part of the same package deal. For Rav Shimon ben Yochai, what is he going to say in defense of his position that the Vav is coming to be Ma'ariv the Kra? Amar lecha, S lo sagya de lo kasa. The S is justified in and of itself. Why is the S important? Lafsuki bein mamon ligavo.
No,
I'm sorry. What did I read? Lafsuke bein mamon gavoa le mamon hejot. Okay, so we have two types of payments. We have payments of the sort of compensation. You know, I took your money. I have to compensate you. I have to replace it. That's called mamon hejot. But then there's something called a karbon. A karbon, in a sense, is a payment to Gavah, to Shamayim. Right? So let's see. We have the case of Keren. Keren itself, and I mean this deliberately, Keren, is clearly Mamon Hejot. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Karbon on the other extreme is clearly Mamon Gavah. In the middle, we have something called Chomesh. Where would you classify as Chomesh? Is it Mamon Gavah or is it Mamon Hejot?
Hejot.
Correct. It's a little bit confusing. Why would I think initially, you know, sort of my knee-jerk response would have been it's Mamon Gavoa? Because it's a kapara. That's what we discussed yesterday, that Rashi calls it a kapara. But no. The very fact that this Chomesh has to be paid to whom? To the Nigzal, right? The Tovea, that itself classifies it as Mamon Hejot. And therefore when the Torah says Berosho, the Torah wants to say now that Chamishoso and Ashomo are two different payments. Chamishoso is going to be a payment of Mamon Hejot, and Ashomo is a penalty or a kapara of Mamon Gavoa. And that's why the Torah couldn't combine the two in one breath, and had to separate them with the word S. No, if he separates the word S, then we come back to Paske Lekra, and now I would derive the conclusion of the Chachamim, that in the case of Kefel, which excludes Chomish, it also excludes Asham, right? Because Paske Lekra, I'm sorry, just the other way around, that when Kefel excludes Chomish, it excludes Chomish and only Chomish, but not Asham. Asham he does have to bring. That's called Paske Lekra. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that's why the Torah added the Vav of the S. So the S itself, again, just to summarize, is justified in and of itself to separate between Mamon Gavoa, or let's start with Mamon Hejot of the Chamishoso, and then Mamon Gavoa of Hashamo. But now we're in a brach, we're in a bad position over here, because once you justify the S, then you're telling me that although the word Rosho excludes Chomesh, but it doesn't exclude Asham, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that's why the Torah added the word Vav. Hilkach Asa Vav and Arve Likra. So the Torah adds the Vav in order to tell you that as far as the Chi of Carbon is concerned, it has the same din as Chomesh. And once the Kefel excludes Chomesh, then ipso facto excludes carbon as well. And therefore the bottom line is, according to Rav Shimon Yochai, there's no chiv carbon on someone who pays anything beyond keren, which means kefel. Okay. Rabosai, now we begin a new sugya. And I begin this sugya with a lot of fear and trepidation, you know, fear and trembling. It's a challenging sugya. Now, in order to appreciate this sugya, I need to borrow someone's Gemara Bava Kama, because mine is not going to help me. Can I borrow someone's Bava Kama just for a minute? Okay, here. Thank you. I'll give it right back.
Make a shinoi.
Yeah. Okay, good. So you know exactly what Mishnah I want to show you. So here on Daf Sadi Gimel, at the beginning of Perek HaGdolzer Leitzer, which is the ninth Perek above a Kama, the Mishnah says, HaGdolzer Eitzim Vason Kalim Tzemer Vason B'godim Mishalim Kishas HaGzeil. The thief stole wood and he manufactured utensils. He stole wool and he wove a garment. Says the Mishnah, Mishalem Kishas Hagzela. Rashi says, Dmei Eitzim Vitzemer. The Ein Chiyuv Lahachzel Okelim. In other words, the chiyuv of the gazlan is frozen at the moment of the gzela. You would have said that if he steals an object, the Torah says, "Ve'ishiv zegzela shel gazal," he's got to return that object. If he's changed the object and now he's in a very sophisticated way, he's manufactured a keli out of it, so let him return the keli. I mean, after all, the substance of the keli, the raw material of the keli, belongs to the nibzal. Pilei Plod, the Mishnah comes with a whole brand new Chiddush, and the Sugya is going to look for a source for this in the Torah, that the Gazlan doesn't have to return the object. Again, this is not something that's intuitively ethical or rational. Why shouldn't the Gazlan have to return what he stole? The answer is what he stole is gone.
What's in the case of this Shmino?
Of Esan Zona?
Of Shmino.
So in the case of Vihishmino, where he fattens it up, he has a right to say that the Nigzal has a right to say it's still the same object, the same animal. The question is, if let's say you want to determine the value that the Gazan has to pay, do I look at it in its incremental stage, you know, now that it is appreciated by the result of Shmeina, and that's where we had the Svara that he was mafatim the animal, he doesn't have to be penalized because he was mafatim the animal, he's returning a better animal, a more valuable animal to the nigzal. But before we get to that, I just to focus on this, the man steals wood and he manufactures a table out of it. Correct?
Furniture
out of it. So you and I would have said, look, this wood belongs to the Nitzal. Okay, now it's a table. So what? Return the table. Or if you could take it apart and reverse it back to its original state, that's what you have to do. Says the Mishnah, no. The table belongs to the Gazlan.
Yeah,
because, and Rashi says, why does the table, yeah, go ahead, Harvey, why does the table belong to the Gazlan?
Because you're preventing people from doing teshuva.
Ah, okay. Okay, good. That's called Takanas HaShov. But I'm not even up to that yet. You already tried to formulate why the halacha is so, and that's going to be an issue. The truth is that Takanas HaShovim, I don't think, is relevant to our discussion here. But again, I don't know, there's so much you have to know here. You have to know half of Baba Kava for this. But Rashi says, Dekani Bishinui. So let's just take it with, you know, with that. We don't know anything about Takanas HaShovim. We don't know anything about Takanas Derabanan. What we know now is that there's something called a Kinyan Shinui. So what's the Kinyan Shinui? Number one, we have Eitzim, Vason, Kalim. Number two, Tzever, Vason, Begod. Those are the two cases that we have. So let me first return this to you, because I don't want to have too much discussion about God Zayla here. So, fine. So basically what we've seen in the Mishnah at the beginning of Hagozel Eitzim is the concept of Shinui. A Gazlan is Kona B'Shinui. Now, once the Gazlan is Kona B'Shinui, does that mean that the mitzvah and the obligation of Heishim like Zayla Shagozel is completely Parcha Liavir, it's gone? What does he pay?
Money.
Damim, correct. He pays Damim. Which Damim does he pay? Kishas HaGzeil. So it's a fascinating concept. The Gazlan, in a sense, has now acquired ownership. Rashi says he's Kona B'Shinui, vis-a-vis the object that he stole. Again, that doesn't alleviate him from paying the Nigzal, but he's only going to pay the Nigzal the value of the object, as it were, B'Shas Gzeil. Okay. Now we have the second case of Shinui. That case is pretty explicit. It's in the Mishnah, and it's pretty clear. But now we get to a more, shall I say, sophisticated or subtle kind of a case of a sheep. Let's say the object that was stolen was not changed by due to the action, the intervention of the Gazlan, but rather it was altered in a natural process over the course of time. And that's the sugya that we're studying today, of Rav Eloi. We'll call it the sugya of Rav Eloi. Amar Rav Eloi, Ganav Tle Vinasa Ayil, Egel Vinasa Shor, is Nasa Shinui Biyodo. Okay, we have to figure out what the word Biyodo means. Vikono. In other words, Rav Eloi is going to take the Mishnah in Hagozel Eitzim one step further, one major step further. And that's going to incur the wrath of Rabbi Chanina in the Hemshech HaSugya, but Rav Eloi is of the opinion that Shinui equals Shinui equals Shinui. What does that mean? If the change was made in the object, the Gazlan is Kone by virtue of that change. Again, we have to rack our brains to figure out why. But let's just get, you know, I like to move slowly. My brain is slow. I'm not as fast as the geniuses here. And Rav Eloi says that that's called Gazlan Kona B'Shinui. Why? Because there's something called a Tle, okay? And then there's something called an Ayil. There's something called an Egel, and there's something called a Shar. And even though this process of maturation is a natural process, nevertheless, the object that was stolen is no longer the same. It's taken on, shall we say, a new identity. I don't know. Don't take me literally yet, because that's called Shinui Hashem. That's going to be another sukkah, but it's called a Shinui in the Gufo Shel Chefetz. And basically, what Rav Eloi is claiming is that the object that was stolen no longer exists. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the original Hagbah or Hotzah Mirshus HaBailin, when the Gazlan a month ago stole this little Shepsula, you know, this little kid, or how would you translate an eagle, a calf, I guess, a calf, a lamb. And we're going to say that it's no longer. The calf that he took or the lamb that he took doesn't exist anymore. It's history. So that the original Maisa Gzela, which now connects the object back to the Nigzal, because the Torah says, Ve'eshim Sagzel Shagazal, is now disconnected from the Nigzal, because where is that object? It's Nishtana. Oh. Now, when I read this Gemara before Rashi, my impression was that who's going to hold on to this aisle or this shar? The Ganaf, right? In light of the Mishnah that says Gazal Eitzim, my son Kalim, is Kano. Rashi says he doesn't pay back the Eitzim, he'll pay its value. But the Eitzim are now his, albeit in a different form as a table, as a kli. Is I would have said that what Ravi Law is saying, by extending that Mishnah just one step further, the Shar is now, you know, let's put it this way, the Gazlan is now the proud owner of the Shar. He's the proud owner of the isle. That's what I thought before Rashi. Now, to appreciate why Rashi is not willing to accept that, we'll read a few more words in Ravi Law. Because Ravi Law says, Tavach u'machar, shelohu toveach, shelohu mocher. It's a little bit strange, almost anticlimactic here. Ravi Law breaks new ground, and he says that the animal that was stolen no longer exists, and the Gazlan therefore was Kona Bishinu. Why does he have to discuss a case of Tavach u'machar? That seems so secondary. First, tell me the main chiddush that he doesn't have to return the animal. If we understand Rav Ila is just extending the mission of Gazal Eitzim and applying it here to Nasa Ayil, then he doesn't have to return the Tle because the Tle is no longer. Just like he doesn't have to return in the Mishnah there the Eitzim because the Eitzim don't exist anymore. He's going to Bishinui. Why does Rav Ila have to confuse me and obfuscate things by introducing the issue of Tavach Omachar? Does he pay Dalvei or does he not pay Dalvei? Focus first and foremost on revealing this great new work of art, this revolution of sorts, that he doesn't have to return the animal. The man stole an animal, and he doesn't have to return it. Why doesn't he point that out?
It's no longer the same animal, that's why.
And Rashi doesn't want to learn that pshat. Rashi's saying, if you're telling me it's no longer the same animal, and you don't have to return it, therefore, that should have been much more explicit in the words of Rabbi Loi. That should be the Iker Shabikar. And that somehow, Rashi claims, gets lost in the shuffle. And what I'm going to try to prove to you now is that Rashi was so upset about this that he came to the conclusion that Rabbi Loi is discussing one issue and only one issue. Tavach HaMachar. The whole nafkamina of Rabbi Loi of Gazlan Kana Bishinui, again this type of Shinui, is only vis-a-vis Tavach u'Machar. The Gazlan took the isle or the shar and he shechted it or he sold it. Does he pay Dalet Vehe? Does he not pay Dalet Vehe? That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Law. He does not pay Dalet Vehe. But as far as the Kinyan itself is concerned, to return this animal, if it's still alive and well, had he not shechted it, had he not sold it, enochinami, he would have to return the object. Which means that Ravi Law is not taking the abstract din, that klal, that principle of a gozel eitziv, a son kalim, and applying it here. They're two different categories. So first I want to prove to you that that's what Rashi is saying. Because I would never have said it. Rashi says, Nase Shinu Biyodo Ukno. Again, you have to find the Rashi. I can't help you too much. It's about midway through the daf here on Samachayim and Beis. Rashi says, Nasa shinu biyado ukno bishinui laha milsa. Do you see those two words? Underline those two words. Laha milsa. What does Rashi mean by saying laha milsa? Is he expanding or qualifying? When Rashi says laha milsa for this halacha, he's qualifying. He's circumscribed. Which means, so says Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz here, who's going to argue with Rashi, that according to Rashi, if the animal is still alive and well, he's got to return the animal. Isdach Rabosai, now I have to ask you the following question. What's the difference in the definition of shinui between the classical shinui, which is Hagozel Eitz of Asan Kalim, and this shinui? How would you classify the two? What element or dimension applies to Gozal Eitzim that doesn't apply to Gozal Tleh? Exactly. Who active? Was there an action on the part of the Gazlan, Bekuvah say, to create this shinui? And the answer is depends. If you're dealing with the Mishnah and Hagozel Eitzim, the answer is yes. There was a Maisa Shinu V'Yodayim. But if you're dealing with our Sugya V'Avilah, now there's no active Maisa Shinui. The Shinui is a natural course, a sequence of events that passes with time. A
natural process.
So Rabosai, I want you to make a note of this, because this we're going to have to come back to, again, as I say, we're on the, you know, the threshold of a gigantic, gigantic sugya. There's one kind of shinui which is a maisa of the gazlan. There's another kind of shinui which is a natural kind of shinui. What's the logical reason to assume that in order to create the paradigmic shinui, which means that he's kona the object with a kinyan gomor, such that he doesn't have to return it to the nigzal, applies only in a case of shini biyadayim? Rabosai, what is a kinyan?
It's a maser.
Kinyan is always a maser. There's no such thing as a kinyan without a maser. Tosa at the beginning of Bab Metzia wants to say Beri'ia B'Alma Kanile. But even Tosa, by the way, backtracks. He says Beri'ia B'Alma Kanile is if you make a fence around the object. If you remember the Tosa, it's a small Tosa on that base of an olive in Masechta Bab Metzia. But be that as it may, the halacha, you'll have to trust me on this, does not recognize a kinyan b'shei v'alpas. There's got to be an action. And the laws of Gzela should be no different than the laws of universal Kinyonim. To the same extent that universal Kinyonim require an action, a Maisa, so too Kinyonic Gzela require a Maisa. Again, you should already be thinking why that's not correct, but ostensibly that should be correct. So Kinyan Chatzar depends really on Chatzar Mishum Shlichus or Chatzar Mishum Yad. I would assume that even if I hold Chatzar Mishum Shlichus, again, if Chatzar is Mishum Yad, then the Chatzar is actually grabbing onto the object on behalf of the Baal HaChatzar. But even if I hold Chatzar Mishum Shlichus, I would say that somehow we view the Chatzar almost as a Gavra, as a personality who's making a Kinyan on behalf of the Baal HaChatzar. Yes, I'm afraid to take questions because I'm at the beginning of a sugya here, you know. So everything is beravon mukbal.
But isn't it kasher on the lashon of the Gemara?
Lord biyado.
It says nisa sho nisa shinui biyado.
Biyado. Okay. Yeah. I understand the word biyado, and I understand the problem with the word knao. There are many, many different problems. But again, Rabosai, every problem has to be solved. Some are solved in a better way and some in a more b'dievid way, you know what I mean, with the shasadcha. But I just want to present to you the sheet of Rashi in the sugi. Rabbeinu Peretz is going to argue. According to Rashi, Ravila never meant to say that the fact that the animal has matured and made this transition from the state of being a tleh to that of being an isle, that the gazlan is kona b'shima. He did not mean that. It's not a kinyan gomor. Now again, obviously, the definition here is going to be very very muffled over here. We're going to have to fine tune it. There's something called a kinyan she'eino gomur. Now, as soon as you see the concept of a kinyan she'eino gomur, you know that you're talking about tzvei dinim. You got to be a brisker lot. In other words, it's a kinyan vis-a-vis X, but not vis-a-vis Y. It's in this no man's land, you know, of the twilight zone of Bein HaShemoshes. But that's the way Rabbeinu Peretz understands Rash. Rabbeinu Peretz is one of the Balei HaTosfos. He disagrees with Rash. He holds that Rav Eloi went the full 9 yards, and he, Rav Eloi, understands that this is mamash a kinyan, albeit without an action, and we don't know how that kinyan operates. So before we analyze Rashi's sheet, I just want to say a few words l'fi ani yisdaiti about Rabbeinu Peretz. Yeah, please.
Eventually saying in Rashi that in Rabbi Eloi, he'd be chay kefil but not dal ve'eh.
No, he's not chay nor kefil nor dal ve'eh.
No, he is chay kefil.
Yeah, right. That's what he says over here. Okay. So in any event, we'll come back to kefil later. I just want to point this following idea to your attention. Throw this out, so to speak. You know, the Gemara used the language Nizrika b'mi l'fnei achabur. I just want to throw out an idea here. What is the source for kinyan shinui in gzeil? So the Gemara is going to tell us, we're not ready to it yet, it's on Samach Vav, that v'heshiv is ha-gzeil, and then there are two extra words in the pasuk, asher gazal.
Depends if it's changed at all.
Oh, exactly. So the Gemara says, what's the extra two words, asher gazal? It says, v'heshiv ha-gzeilus. I know he stole it. The Torah didn't have to mention that he stole it. Oh, asher gazal is not a description of the action, but of the object, the stolen object. Ke'en she'gazal. So when is the gazlan? Chayv and ashova when it's ke'en she'gazal. Frek Rebbe Chanan. Famous Rebbe Chanan Vasser. Why is it that you can derive a kinyan shinui from the fact that it says ve'eshev is like zeilah shagazal? Maybe ve'eshev is like zeilah shagazal is defining and circumscribing the chiyuv hashava. The Torah establishes a chiyuv hashava, and the Torah tells you when you're chayiv in hashava, when you're not chayiv in hashava. If it's not kein shagazal, you're not chayiv in hashava. Doesn't mean it's yours. Says Rebbe Chanan, a gvaldig yisod. Basically, every gazlan, by virtue of the fact that he takes the object and removes it from the shus of the nigzal, he has, in potential, inherently, in that action, a maisa kinyan. That's the kinyan itself. But there's an antithesis over here. You know, there's an antiforce. You know, in physics, you always have, you know, a force that pulls this way and a force that pulls the other way. What's the force that pulls the other way? There's no such thing as bailus, which requires you to fork over this object, to forfeit your ownership. The fact that the Torah requires you to forfeit the ownership, that itself freezes the kinyan gzeila, says Rebbe Chanan. But if there's no veheshiv gzeila, then we go back to square one. Then the gzeila itself is capable, through its inherent potential, to become a full-fledged kinyan. Since it's not ke'en she'gazal, is memela, there's no ve'eshiv sa'gzela, says Rebbe Chanan, therefore the gazlan is kona. And perhaps Rabosai, this could explain Rabbeinu Peretz, l'fi ani yisdaiti. Again, Rebbe Chanan doesn't quote Rabbeinu Peretz. But if we go with Rabbeinu Peretz and Rav Eloi, that there's such a thing as a kinyan shinui, legamre, even without a maisa, because it became a shore, is to ask yourself the question, where's the maisa kinyan? The answer is, Rebbe Chanan is right, the gzeila itself is the maisa kinyan. No, vos ve'eshiv is like gzeila, but it's not at kasher gozal. That's not Rashi's sheet. Rashi is unwilling to say, even according to Rav Eloi, that we can go as far as to say that this is a full-fledged sheet. And the reason for Rashi's hesitation, not just technically, because there's a whole discussion here in Rav Eloi that when he's chayv dal vehei for tavach of mochar, is more than that. Rashi feels that it's impossible to say that when an animal matures, and instead of being a young calf, now it's an ox, a full-grown ox, therefore the animal is gone? I understand very well that if I sell you a kli, a piece of furniture, as Harvey says so well, that's not eitzim. Who would call you know, who would call a table Eitzim? Again, you know, in certain manufacturing cases, you know, you may have, you may order closets, let's say, you know, for 10,000 shekel, you order closets, it's mostly Eitzim, you know. They beautify the Eitzim, maybe. But if I offer you a beautiful, sophisticated, small keli, that's not called an Eitz. No one would call that a piece of wood. But Rashi is unwilling to say that anyone, even Ravi Lo, would go as far as to say, maintain this radical position that the animal is gone with the wind. The animal is alive and well. And therefore there's a chiyuv of hashav. No, if there's a chiyuv of hashav, so what is Ravi Lo saying? What is this so-called kinyan shinu kno? So Rashi says it's a separate halacha in Dal Vehei. Okay, let's leave out Kefil just because we can't do everything at once. But let's just focus on Dal Vehei. So what does it say over here? Says Ravi Lo, Tovach u'mochar, Shalohu toveach, Shalohu mochar. He has a kinyan vis-a-vis the Chiyuv Tashlum Dal Vehei for Tovach u'mochar. He's shechting his own animal. Is it his animal? Oh, for sure not. If the animal were alive and well, he'd have to return it. But nevertheless, as far as the halach of tvicha mechira, there's a new definition that requires total ownership of the nigzal. If the nigzal's ownership is somewhat impinged upon, it's somewhat limited, if the gazan has now begun his process of creating a full-fledged kinyan by virtue of the shinui, then we can apply the principle of shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher, to exempt him from a chiyuv dalet vehe. So again, Rabbosai, just to summarize what we said until this point, and obviously we're just at the beginning of the sugya. There are two approaches to the sugya of Rabbi Lo, and they're radically different one from the other. There's Rashi's approach and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Whereas Rashi's approach is that we're dealing with a separate halacha, you know, in Yiddish we'd say a bezunder halacha of dalet vehei. There's a new kinyan which would obviously not replace the identity of the object as a full-fledged kinyan, like similar to the paradigm of Eitz and Vason Kelim, but it is a mixas kinyan insofar as dalet vehei, to exempt the gazlan from the chiyuv of dalet vehei, because when he shechts the animal, you know what we're going to say? He's shechting his own animal. He's not shechting the animal of the gazlan. And then there's Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz takes this gemara of Rabbi Lo Kipshuta, and Rabbi Lo went the full 9 yards. He equated, he upgraded a shinui of tle, the isle, to the level of Eitzim Vason Kalim. And the gazlan is kona. Nafkamita between Rashi and Rabbeinu Peretz is, if the animal is still alive, does he have to return it to the nixal? Well, that's what we have so far. Again, Rabbosai, I'm not ready for any questions or any attacks or any comments because we're very, very early in the sukkah. Okay. I just want to read out loud one line here in the Pnei Yoshua, and I'm not sure I understand it, but I just want to read it out so it'll relieve me of a burden on my chest, at least. The Pnei Yoshua writes, Kevan shegazlan sheochal ohizik es hagzela liachar shenisyakra mishalem kishavya b'shas achila u'b'shas hezek. The Pnei Yoshua wants to explain the radical nature of Ravi Lo's Chiddush. If not for Ravi Lo, I would say the following. You know what? Tovach? Let's focus on Tovach. The man steals a tle and shechts it as an isle. That's a Maisa Hezek. He certainly should pay like any Mazik, Kishas HaHezek. How does Ravi Lo alleviate the Gazlan of his chiyuv b'toras mazik? Again, let me read it one more time. Again, I'm just trying to relieve myself of a burden here. I hope you don't mind. You're just doing chesed for me, so you're helping me out. He says, gazlan sha'ochal, if a gazlan goes in and consumes the stolen object, ohizik, or he damages, destroys the gzela, the object that was stolen. In this yakra, it had gone up in value, appreciated from the time of the gzela to the time of the hezek or the time of the akila, is mishalim kishavya b'shas akila b'shas hezek. In other words, what the Pnei Yeshua is pointing out is that inherent in the action of achila hezek is a machayev unto itself. Let him pay for the object's value as it is today. So what's the guy's going to say? But when I stole it, it was only worth one, and now it's still four, so why do I have to pay four? The answer is because you destroyed the object. Now, going back, plugging this into Rav Eloy, I don't get it. Says the Pnei Yeshua, you went ahead, Mr. Gazlan, and you shechted the animal. So if that be the case, pay kishasa gzela. Excuse me, kishasa tficha. The tficha itself should be machayev. This is the radical nature of the Chiddush of Aviloh. Shalohu tavach, shalohu machar. That shinui is kone, to the extent to which we could be mafkia what normally logically would have been a separate machayev, kishas gzeil, kishas hezek, kishas tvicha, and that's all suspended. Why? Because the gazan is shechting his own animal. Okay, I just wanted to share that with you. Now, Rabosai, we have the attack of Rabbi Hanina. Eisvei Rabbi Hanina. How could you say such thing? It's against the Brisa. The Brisa says, Gonav, Tle, Venasa Ail, Egel, Venasa Shar, Mishalim, Tashlume, Kefo, Tashlume, Arba, Vachamisha. Now, there are another two words here which we're going to have to focus on a lot, but I don't want to confuse myself. Again, I won't blame anyone, I'll just blame myself with the next two words. But what I see here, even before the next two words, is that the Brisa establishes in the exact same scenario as Rav Eloy that you do pay kefil, you do pay dalet vehei. It's not the Brisa is explicitly against Rav Eloy. Now the Brisa, by the way, but again it's going to be an important point as we go through the sugya, the Brisa wants to raise another question. And that is, okay, you want to tell me he has to pay kefil, he has to pay dalet vehei. Well, I'd like to know exactly what value you estimate and establish the kefil. After all, an egel, with all due respect, we all like little calves, right? But it's not worth as much as a full-grown shar. Like a shar, you could pay $500 for a shar. So now, he, the gazlan, went ahead and he shechted this shar. When he had stolen it, he had stolen what? A tlet, or an egel, right? What does the gazlan have a right to say? Does he have a right to say, well, my friend, I stole an eagle, it was worth one, it was worth 100, I'm not going to pay you dalet vehei on 400. I didn't steal that. What should we say? Just the opposite. Wait a minute. You went ahead and you shechted a shar. Pay for a shar. Pili plot. Says the Brisa, Ke'en Shagana.
Have to be related.
Who's related to whom? I don't know any of your relatives, yes. Because you never invited me to any of your parties.
Yeah. The object you're talking about has got to be related to the object as it was.
Okay. I hear that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm yurid litivkait, you know, to the depth of your profound understanding. But if you let me go on, I may come up with the same understanding that you have. I don't know. But at this point, I'm very perplexed. I don't understand. I need a guide. How could you tell me that you pay Kain Shagana for this little shepsula? He went ahead and he shechted a full-grown shar. That's an ox that's worth 500. I don't know what it's worth. Why should he get away with Kain Shagonav? But you know what? Rabbi Hanina is blind to that problem at this point. He's not willing to admit that there's an issue in the price itself. The price says Kain Shagonav. Says Rabbi Hanina, V'yisal k'day t'kanya b'shinu, according to you, Rabbi Lo, that when the animal became mature, he was Kona, the gazan was Kona b'shinu, am I mishalim? Shalom tovech, shalom mochel. It must be that the maturation of the animal is not a shinui, and therefore the regular laws of gzela kick in, and he has to pay for tvicha mechira dal vehei, mefurish against Rabbi Lo. Amalei, Rabbi Lo says, wait a minute, You think you can make any logical sense out of this braisa? This is so typical, Rav Osef Shas. You know, whenever you ask a kash from the braisa, you're treading on dangerous ground, because keep in mind that Rebbe left out the braisas. And the question always is whether the braisa is a braisa mishabeshta or not, whether you can rely on the braisa or not. Says Rav Yehuda, you're bringing me a right from a braisa. This braisa is a mishabeshta. There's no way that you could logically explain this braisa. Why? Because Elamai, you're telling me, Rav Chanina, in this braisa, what did you find? That what? That shinui lo kani, this kind of shinui, doesn't qualify as a shinui for kinyan, is a maimish on kain shaganav l'shalam ki hashta. Now again, when he says kishalam ki hashta, let him pay at the value of the shar at the time that he shechted it. I don't know why. I can give you two explanations. I think both are excellent. One would be Rav, if you remember Rav back on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph, who says that Dalet Vehei Ke'en Kishas Hamoda B'din. Hamoda B'din means at the time of the Tvicha, you remember the Rosh that we discussed in Great Lands. Or maybe what he's saying is that the Maisa Shechita, when he was Toveach, is itself a Machayev, a new Machayev, a Maisa Gzela or Maisa Hezek, whatever you want to call it, and therefore he has to pay at the time of the Hezek. And he shechted the guy's shor. So in other words, again, there's an inconsistency in the braisa, so claims Rav Yehuda. Because on the one end, you're telling me that he has to pay for tvicha, it means that it still belongs to the exile, and this kind of shinui does not qualify and constitute the shinui, so that the gazel was never kona. Now, if that be the case, let him pay kishas ha-tvicha, and yet the braisa insists that he pays kishas ha-gzela, kein shagana. How could it be? The braisa itself is blown up inherently, internally, minei ubeh. And therefore it's a shabeshta. So don't slug me up from a braisa that's a mishabeshta. Amale, says Rav Chanin, he gets very sensitive over here. You know, you're stepping on a toe. He says, this is not a braisa mishabeshta. He says, ki hashta. You know what? I have a logical reason to justify the braisa that even though it's chayev dal vei for tficha mechira, he pays kein shagana. Why? Hainu time of the lo mashalim mishum. Why doesn't he pay according to its value now as a shor? After all, the gazlan shechted the shor; it's worth 500. Mishum di amar le the ganov has a right to claim Torah ganvi minoch? Question mark. It's a what you call a rhetorical question. Did I steal a shor from you? Dichra ganvi minoch. Oh, I'm sorry. Dichra ganvi minoch. Did I steal from you a dichra? Dichra is an Aramaic word for nayal. I didn't steal from you. I only stole from you a tleh. I only stole from you an egel. And therefore, how could you mechayev me for tficha mechira according to the value of the mature animal? I didn't steal a mature animal. Okay, so you didn't steal a mature animal. So what? Now you shechted it. And dal vehei is, according to Rav, is kishas hamoda b'din. Obviously, the Gemara is not operating here with Rav. At least Rav Chanina never accepted Rav. Ella what? You remember the sugya of Rabbah? Rabbah says that forget about kishas hamad b'din. He should be paying for its value now for a different reason entirely, because tavrei oshasye, he now destroyed the object. Comes along Rav Chanina, listen to the lumbus here, and he says tavrei v'shasye is not a brand new mechayev. Tavre v'shasye, as a maisa heze, could never ever generate more than karen. Here we're making him pay dalet vehei. Why is he paying dalet vehei for an action that's a maisa heze? A maisa heze generates dalet vehei? That's crazy. The answer is because this maisa of tficha mechira is not a maisa heze, but what is it? It's a maisa gzela. Ah, it's a maisa gzela. Now we go back to kein shagazal. So Rabosai, I submit to you that there's a fundamental machlokas here between Rav Ilah and Rav Chanina. Rav Ilah understood, and this is why we understood it intuitively, that in the case of Tavach v'machar, if the Shini is not Kone, then he should pay Kishas Tvicha Mechira, either because of Rav's halacha of Kain Kishas Hamad Bedin, or because the halacha of gzela as a maisa of tvicha as a maisa hezek, and he pish chayv as a mazik. Comes along Rav Chanina, says nein, v'toras mazik, you could never ever generate a chiv that goes beyond keren. We don't know such a thing. As a matter of fact, we know in maisa hezek sometimes it generates a chiv that's less than keren. What's that called? Anybody know? Short time, right? Short time pays chatzi. Okay, I don't want to get you sidetracked here, sorry. But we never found the Maisa Hezek with a knas that goes beyond. The teretz is that we don't view this Maisa as a separate, independent Maisa Hezek. The Tvicha is an extension of what? Of the Maisa Gzela. And Bitoris Gazlan, he pays Tashlumi Gazlan of Dalit Vehe for the Tvicha. Ah, if it's Tor Gazlan, the Ganav now has a right to protect himself and argue that, look, I stole a little tiddish tle that was worth 100. I didn't steal this big fat, you know, aisle, this big fat shard. So therefore, says Rav Chanina, the Bryce is a very valid Bryce. It stands on its own logical 2 feet. It's compelling. It's reliable. It's not Mishabeshta. Now it's Rav Chanina, now it's Rav Ilah's turn to get upset, to get sensitive. Omar Lei. Rachmana Nitzlan Mihai Daita. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us, spare us from such a das. How could you say such a thing? If Shinui is not Shinui in the case of a maturation process, if that be the case, the Behema belongs to the Nigzal. If the Behema belongs to the Nigzal, then the Ganav, when he goes and he shechts it, has to be Chayev for that Maisa Tficha. And so Rav Chanina responds, Adarav Rachmana Nitzlan Midaitach Didah. If you're getting sensitive, I'm also getting sensitive. Hashem should be matzal us from your das, because what we're talking about here is a shinui. I never meant to say, says Rav Chanina, the way you accused me, you understood me, that there is no shinui. There is a shinui. Maturation is a shinui. I don't deny that. But the halach of shinui is that of a mikzah shinui. Now we want to use the concept of Rashi of a mikzah shinui. This mikzah shinui is enough to generate halacha that the ganav has rights to say, I'm only paying you kain shagana. The mikzah shinui is enough to say that we don't view the animal as if it belongs to the nigzal in the full fail sense. No, it belongs to the gazlan to some extent. The gazlan did acquire some percentage point of ownership on it, such that he has the right to say, okay, I'm chayav as a gazlan, and tficha mechira does generate dal vehei, but let's go back to the shasa gzela. The machayav of gzela here is the machayav of gzela's tfle, not of gzela's ayal or gzela's shor. Is memela. Now this mikzah shinui, argues Rav Chanina, is enough to establish the chiyuv, the claim of the ganav that his chiyuv doesn't go beyond the dalet vehei of the shas hagzela. Maskif le Rav Zera. Rav Zera says, I'm going to prove to you from another curveball from left field that this price is a mishabeshta. This price can't make any sense. Why not? V'nikninu b'shinui Hashem. Rabosa, if the sugi wasn't complex as it was, hold on to your seats at this point. There's something called shinui Hashem, and this Rabosa is a sugi later on. We didn't even get to it yet. Samach Vav Amid Beis, called shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem means he stole chitim, and now he made bread out of it. You know, he made kemach out of it. That's called shinui Hashem. The name of the object, the identity of the object has changed. He stole a tle, not an aisle. He stole an eagle, not a shor. A shor is not an eagle. Eagle is not a shor. And they're two separate entities, two separate identities with names unto themselves. And that's called Shini Hashem. Is Memela. You can't tell me, Reb Chanina, that this price makes sense because it's a mikzah shinui. This is not a mikzah shinui. This is a full-fledged shinui. So Reb Osai, now we have three categories of shinui. We have the classical shinui of Eitzim, Vasan, Kalim. In that case, there's a Kenyan, Gazlan, Bishinui, because he actively changed the object. Then we have another category of Shinui, which is called Shini Hashem. And Shini Hashem means that the identity of the object is completely changed. You know, before he was Clark Kent, and now he's Superman. And therefore, we don't see the guy anymore. We don't see the Keftzah Nigzal. No, no good. That was too American. No, sorry. I don't know which culture. You don't have Superman in England, do you?
No.
No, sorry. So give me something from Sherlock Holmes or something. I don't know, give me from Shakespeare. I don't know what. Okay. But you get the point anyway. Yeah. In America, there's a whole culture about Superman. But nobody knows who Superman is because, you know, he shows up, you know, like you know, like a rocket through the sky. Anyway, but he's Clark Kent. You heard of Batman? No. Okay, Robin, Batman, doesn't mean anything. Okay. That's Katoyari Maski, American.
But then who fights for the American?
I'm sure the Brits have their own version of Batman. Anyway.
Well, Superman's complicated because you read Kryptonite into the equation.
It gets even more. So Rabbosai comes along, Rabbi Zera, our good old friend Rabbi Zera. I love Rabbi Zera. He always comes up with a curveball. He throws a whole new thing into the sea. Rabbi Zera says, what about Shinei Hashem? And if you grant me, and you have no doubt, you have to grant me that this Gazlon is coded for Shinei Hashem, that's a sugya that's explicit on some of the Bava Beis, we didn't get to it yet, then here's a classical case of Shinei Hashem. Says Rava, this is not Shinei Hashem. Oh my Rava, but I have to prove to you with lamdas, with abstract halachic thinking, by traversing through all of scriptures to prove to you that an aisle is not a Shini Hashem, that a shar is not a Shini Hashem. How do I know this? Shomar Rava Shar Ben Yomo, immediately what we call an Egel is also called a shar. Kari Shar, Ayel Ben Yomo, what we call a Tlez, also called an Ayel, Kari Ayel. This is not a Shini Hashem. How does Rava know such a thing? Shar Ben Yomo, Kari Shar, Dichsiv. This is in Parshas Emor. The Torah says, Shar O Kesev O Eiz Ki Voled. And here we're talking about Ki Voled. It's on the day of its birth, and yet it's called what? A Shar. Ayel Ben Yomo, Kari Ayel, Dichsiv. Again, this is Yaakov Avinu ripping it into Lavan, his great Shver Lavan, right? And Lavan is running after him, trying to kill him. Why? Because he hates Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov turns around and he tries to indicate his nemanus, how dedicated he was to his shver. We should all be so dedicated to our fathers-in-law. The elei tzonecha tzoncha lo achalti. We're talking about ayal here. What do you mean talking about ayal? Did Yaakov only take care of the elim? Elim hu delo achal? Oh, I didn't eat any of your elim, right? But kvasim achal, these little tlaim I ate. El olav shmamino ayal ben yomukori ayal rabosai. Mind-boggling Gemara, because the Gemara says that whether X becoming Y is a Shinui Hashem or not depends not on you and I, not depends on society, not on the way we treat it or the way we speak and relate to it, no, but rather it's the way the Torah says it. From Yikomakom Kasha, now that we've already established, says Rabbi Hanina, that the price is not a Mishabeshta, what do we do with this price? Rav Sheshes, Hamani Beit Shamayhi. The most radical shita of them all, as far as Shinui and Gzela, is that of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai denies the whole story, and it's based on Esnan Zonah. Beit Shammai doesn't understand that there's a lock of Shinui. He never recognized it. The Ami Shinui b'mekomo omed. Has the Bach has a reason. But what does it mean, Shinui b'mekomo omed? Shinui doesn't change anything. For lo kani, there's no kinyan. You can change the tzura of an object, and it's still considered existing. You know, as long as the raw materials are there, the object is still there. You stole a tler, now it's an aisle. Doesn't matter. It still is not, there's no kinyan over here. And this brisa that Rav Hanina is building himself on and attacking Rav Ila is authored by Beit Shammai de Sanya. Here's where Beit Shammai derives his conclusion. And it's fairly interesting. Beit Shammai realizes, I call it Yodo ala Tachtona, he needs a pasuk. He needs a pasuk. I always tell you that methodologically, you always have to study a Gemara if you want to figure out it's a svara pasuk. And if the Gemara says you need a pasuk, it means it's not necessarily intuitively logical. Nasan lo bes non achitin vasaan soles. Right. So he paid this woman of ill repute. Right. He paid her chitim. What'd she do with the chitim? She converted it into kemach, into what do you call it? Flour, right? Or solace. Solace is farina. I don't know. What do you call it?
Fine flour,
okay. Or, for example, he gave a zesim and she made it into shemen. Anovim vasonyan, she made it into wine. Is Beit Shammai is going to say, as we'll soon see, that in such a case, it's still also a mizbeach? I mean, we have now psul mizbeach for benochos. We have psul mizbeach for nesachim. Why? Because there's no such thing as being mafkir the shame esnan zona through shinu. Tanachada, one brisa says, also you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. It's Esnan Zonis Psul Mizbeach. Tanachada, another brisa says, Mutter. Om Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Tani. Okay, this is a very rarely quoted Tana, but Gurion. Okay, Gurion. I don't know, he was prime minister. I don't know who he was and what country he was prime minister of. De Masfurkt. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Okay, that's where he was from. Somewhere in probably in Portugal or someplace. I don't know where. Right? It's Beit Shammai Osur Beit Hillel Matirin. So Gurion tells us that the brisa that says it's Osur Mizbeach is Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai holds that even though the tzura was changed, it's no longer wheat, it's flour. Nevertheless, it still retains its identity. There's no such thing as shinui, and it's Esnan Zon Apostle Mizbeach. And therefore, when a person steals a tfleh, now it's an aisle, he's still chayav. There's no kinyan shinui. But it comes out now, Rabosai, that the question of Rav Chanina is predicated on a price that's authored by Beit Shammai. My time in the Beit Shammai. So, in other words, logically, there is a concept called shinui. The issue is like Zeilah Shagazal, Kein Shagazal. The object that I stole is no longer in the world. Why should I be chayav in Hashava? It was kona v'shinui. And the answer is because in the parsha of Esnan Zona, in Ki Teitza, Yishtet and Pasuk, Ki Soavas Hashem Gam Shnehem. Okay? So it's nothing to do with Harbona, but whenever you see the word Gam, you know that it's a ribui. And what's the ribui coming? L'rabo Shinuyehem, even if the object which was given to the Zona was changed, nevertheless it still remains Esnan and Pasul Mizbeach, because the Torah says, Toavas Hashem Gam. Gam meaning even after there was a Shinui. Ubeis Hillel, Beis Hillel say no. Because what's the word after Gam? Shnehem. So what's this word Shneim telling me? Take the word Shneim and divide it, split it into two. And you have Shnei and Haim. And when you do that split, is Haim v'lo shinu yeyem. That when is there psul in the cheft of the karbon? You know, in the cheft of the esnan, that's only when it's in its original state. But if there was a shinui, then the pasuk is telling me it's no longer possible mizbeach, nishtana gufo, because of Haim. Ubeit Shammai? What's Beit Shammai going to do with the extra Haim? Hahu! And here we go on to Daf. Samach. What page is it? Samach Vavam and Aleph. Haim velo vlado sehem. So he gives an animal, a pregnant animal, to the Zona as an Esnan. Now this pregnant animal gives birth. I might think that the Cheftza shall psul of and shame Esnan Eschal on the very fiber, on the very material biological structure of this animal, including the fetus in its mother's womb. For that we need Haim. Velo Vlado Seim. The Vlad of an Esnan is Kashal and Mizbeach. Rabosai, I would not want to believe, you know, if it was me, I don't know if I'd want to bring that Vlad onto the Mizbeach. But anyway, it's Kashal and Mizbeach. Because it's not part of the Gufa Esna. It's a new entity. We're not going to say that, what's called? Uber Yerach Imo. Right, we're not going to say Uber Yerach Imo. We're going to say the Uber is the Yerach Imo while it's an Ubar, but now it's not an Ubar. It stands on 2 feet. It has its own... I can give you a whole Musa Shmuz on this, Rabosai. This is a great subject for a drush on Shabbos. Why does the child have to suffer because of the iniquities of its parent? The parent was used as a zoyna, as an esnan zoyna. Okay, that's fair. That's repulsive to this bear. But don't blame the child. The child is born as a, you know, that's what reform schools are all about. You know, the children who never come from juvenile, you know, they come from parents that were delinquent, and now they have to suffer for it. So we send them to reform school, and we try to teach them and encourage them that they have their own identity. They don't have to carry around the thing. My father's a chronicle, he used to say, when people would pravi yichus, you know, he used to have balabati, would say, oh, my alter zeta was this, and my zeta was this rav, and that rav. Again, it's a different door. Today, nobody even knows the yichus. But in those days, so my father used to say the five, he didn't say it to the guy himself, but he used to say to me, you know, this around, he used to say,
the guy was gone.
Go back into your yichus. I don't care who you are. And I promise you, you'll find some not such kosher people back in your youth, you know, saying a couple of this here, and I don't want to say it there, and, you know, Mulchom thieves, you know, in your pants. You know, no one has a pure pedigree yichus. Ube Samael, basically right with you. Ube Hillel, what's Beis Hillel going to do with Haim? He needs Haim for Vlado Vladoseim. How can you use Haim for Loshinu Yehem? Zok Beis Hillel, it's the same Yisod, it's the same Din. Tarte Shamet Mino Haim Veloshinu Yehem. Haim Velo Vladoseim. In both cases, it's the same halacha. There's a new entity that emerged here, and therefore the old entity of Esnan Zona no longer exists. Ayu Beis Hillel Aksiv Gam. What about the ribui which Beit Shammai uses for Shinu Yehem? Says the Gemara, Gam Beis Hillel Kasha. We don't know exactly what Beit Shammai Beis Hillel is going to do with the word Gam. Yes, Ev?
Would Beit Hillel also admit that Kalev and Esa'ai would be allowed to fit in his death?
What was the case? There was an Esnan.
Etnan Zona.
And what was it? There was a Tle?
It became an Ayl. It would be allowed because we saw that.
Basil says, Basil would say.
Because of the wheat, that yeah, it wheat would and flour, allowed. We can understand.
But yeah, it would be Kashul Mizbeh. Right. It would be Kashul Mizbeh. Yeah, because we're saying, oh, well, it's not a Shini Hashem. But so the answer to your question should depend upon the machlokas between Rav Chanina and Rav Ilah. In other words, according to Rav Chanina, there's a full-fledged shinui, and therefore you're right; it would be kosher l'mizbeach. But according to Rav Ilah, it's only a mitzvah shinui. I don't know. I mean, again, that requires study. What I just want to do, Rav Osa, with your rishus, I know it's getting late, is just see if we can make a haschala on the next phase, 5-6 lines in the Gemara. A very complicated sugya. The Gemara now reminds us of the sheet of Rav. Remember that Rav holds that Tashlume Kefel and Dalit Vehei is Kishas Hamoda B'din. Correct? Fine. Now we have a machlokas between Rav Ilah and Rabbi Chanina. And it all revolves around that brisa about the case of Gozal Tle Venasa Ayah. Says the Gemara, Ad kan lo pligi. There's no machlokas except in case X. No, or right. Ella, in other words, again, what the Gemara is going to try to do is set up the common ground between Rav Ilah and Rav Chanina by limiting the machlokas ground. Where's the ground of their controversy? Ad kan lo pligi. Where do they argue? Ella, they only argue in the case of Tle V'nasa Ayel. Demar, this is Rav Ilah Sovar. Shinui Kone. This kind of a shinui is a miktas kinyan, as we discussed at great length in Rashi's frame of reference, and therefore that miktas kinyan is enough to patter up the Gazlan from a Chiyuv Dal Vehei of Tovach. Umar, but Rabbi Chanina disagrees, Sovar, Ein Shinui Kone. This Shinui is not a valid Shinui, and therefore he has to pay Dal Vehei El Inyan Shlume. They only argue about whether or not the Gazlan has to pay Dal Vehei. Correct? Rav Chanina says he does, and that's the Braisa. And Rav Ilah says he doesn't because Shalohu Tavach and Shalohu Mocha.
Right.
However, he says, Aval inyan shlume kuli alma kidmei kara mishalim. Wait a minute, what happened to Rav? Let me explain. If Rav Ilah would have agreed to Rav Chanina's principle that this kind of a shinui does not qualify as a shinui, and therefore there is a chiyuv dal vehei, he has no beef, he has no problem with the next step in this brisa, that when he pays Dalet V'hei, we establish the price for Dalet V'hei as the Shas Hagneva. And as we said before, because Tavach U'Machar is nothing more than an extension of Gneva. So that even Rav Ilah, in theory, is not arguing with this fundamental principle of Kishas Hagneva. The question is, what are we going to do with Ra? And the Gemara says, the Ketani, the Braisa says, Mishalim Tashlumi Kefla Tashlumi Arba V'chamisha Ke'en Sheganav. Is lema to heavy tuv to derav? Is this whole sugya, beginning with the brisa, going all the way down to Rav Chanina and Rav Ilah, against Rav? The Omar Rav, Rav says, keren ke'ein shegonav, umeshalem tashlume kefel v'tashlume dalvehe kishas hamod bedin. Now, up until this point, I understand it. The next line is what confuses me. What the Gemara is presenting here is a contradiction, is a confrontation between everything that we've learned here in the sugya of Rav Ilah and Rav Chanina, based on the Braisa, on the one hand, and Rav on the other hand. Rav insists that Tashlumei Dalveis Ke'ein Hamoda B'Shas Hamoda B'Din. The Braisa establishes that the Tashlumei Dalvehei is Kishas Hadzela. How do we reconcile those two? Now, you'll tell me, but wait a minute. Rav Ilah doesn't even buy into the Braisa. Okay, Rav Ilah says that the Braisa attributes the Braisa to Beit Shammai. Fine. But as far as the fundamental understanding here, Rav Ilah doesn't disagree, doesn't reject Rav Chanina, that if there would be a tashlume dalet vehe, meaning if this shinui would not qualify as a shinui because the tleh is still the same, you know, even though it's an ayil, then he would pay dalet vehe kishas hagneva. Amar Rava tloim kimidmi kara damim kishal achshav. Says Rava, there's no stira. Rav is not giving us an all-inclusive, absolute rule that every single dalet vehei is determined by Shas Hamoda B'din. He's only talking about Damim. Okay, Rabosai, if you could help me here, look at Rashi and see if you can figure it out. He says, the Ganov wants to pay with Damim. Okay? Or he has to pay with Dom, and the Chafetz is not there, so he has to pay with cold cash. Okay?
Dollar is always Dom.
So let's see, what's Tloim Kimidikara, and what's Domim Kishel Achshav? So this is, I think, a sugi of Shavakesa Kikesef. Meaning, does the Gazlan have a right, if the Chefetz HaNigzal is destroyed, to replace the object with a similar object? So let's say, for example, the Gazlan stole a Tle. The Tle is gone. Can he, the Gazlan, return another Tle? Again, I don't know how we evaluate if this tle is that, whatever it is, and say, you know what? I want to pay you a tle. Does he have rights to do so? Let's just, for argument's sake, assume that the answer is yes. Okay, as strange as it sounds. Instead of paying damim, he wants to pay a tle. Okay. Rav, in this case, would agree that he pays dalet vehe kein shegozel. Let him gather together four tloim and fork over four tloim to the nigzal. If, on the other hand, he has no tloim, or he doesn't want to pay tloim, he wants to pay damim, says Rav, well, damim is an abstract sum which is going to be set and fixed in stone by whom? By Beit Din. And that's called Kishas Hamoda B'Din. When do we say Kishas HaGzela, that's only tloim? But damim is Kishel Achshav. Damim means that the Beis Din is now, at this moment, establishing the Chiyuv Dalet Vehe. That will reflect the payment, the penalty, that he deserves for shechting this animal. But he does have the opportunity to pay a tleh. So, folks, I'm going to call it a day here at this point. What I owe you, and I owe myself, is to figure out, A, does the Gazlan, if he does, why does the Gazlan have the right to be Makayim his Chiyuv by paying Tloim?
That's what it says in the Torah.
Because it says Shor Tach Shor, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. But again, conceptually, how does that work? You know, what we're saying is there are two different machayivim, so to speak, of Dal Vehe. There's one classical machayiv of Dal Vehe, which is set in stone by Bezdin, and that's called Rav Kishas Hamorabidin. And then there's a whole new method, so to speak, of evaluating Dal Vehe according to Tloim, meaning I can pay you in Tloim, and that's Kein Shagana. And again, there's a phenomenal difference because these tloim, even if you multiply them by four, are worth on the market a fraction of what he'd be paying in damim for shas hamod v'din at the moment that he shechted a shor. So it's so strange here. Are we giving the gazlan this leeway to decide whether he wants to pay 100 or he wants to pay 1,000? It's up to him? That's what I don't understand. Does Rashi say anything here, Rav Osa? I didn't, honestly, I got called for a meeting today. I didn't have that extra time to go through the Rashi. Here, Tloyim Kirvikar. Let's look at the Rashi. Do you have it? It's about 7 lines from the top. Kloma. Imbol Shalim Tloyim Kirvikar Sagi. Sagi means it's sufficient. The Tle Ganav Utle Mishalim.
But values as now.
No, no. The value of its left. Zev, when he shechted, was a shor. He's going to now.
But that was a kinyan. That means he's paying the clay. Let's say that it's called the zula.
I don't know.
The clay, the time,
Zev, you may be light years ahead of me. I don't know. I'm very far behind you. What I'm saying is the following. We have the brisa of clay and nasa ayil. And the brisa says that he will pay dalet vehe if he shechts it, as it was b'shas ha'gzeilu. What was the value of a tfle? Let's call it 100. Comes along Rav, and Rav has a super duper principle that dalet vehe is always shatzed up, it's always evaluated because shas ha'tficha. Shas ha'tficha is when the animal is a shor, or it's an aisle. It's worth 500.
Well, wait, so maybe
so the Gemara has this problem, and now Rav comes to reconcile. There's no stira. Rav is right, and the price is right. How can they both be right? It sounds like Fiddler on the Roof, right? He's right and he's right. Yeah. Why are they both right? Because Rav is talking about a case where he's paying Dom. And the Bryce is talking about a case where he's paying Tloim. Says Rashi in Baal is Shalim Tloim. Then he has a right to say, you know, I stole a Tloim, I'm paying you Tloim. And it's Kain Shagonav. And I say there's a phenomenal difference. Rav, on the other hand, is talking about a case where he pays what? Domim. If he pays Domim, then it's Kishas Hamad Abedin. And here Rashi says nothing. So what bothers my conscience, you know, and I leave this as a question because I don't have an answer here. I didn't get a chance to research it, is what are we saying over here? The ball is up in the air, and you know it's the Gazan who's going to decide how he's going to catch the ball. If he catches the ball this way and he says, here, my friend, I'm giving you 4 tlaim to replace the tlaim that I took you, go fly a kite, Shalom al Yisrael, and it's been partizan. Or if the Gazan decides to forfeit the ball, and instead of catching it, he says, you know what? Tell me how much dom am I having to write the check. Because then we go to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, well, at the time of the Tficha, it was worth 5 times that amount. Wait, I don't get it. You know, the Gazlan has the option. You know, what? As I say, the ball is in his court.
I thought I want to hear what Zev said, but it may not be what it means.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know if I missed some point here doing the shit, but when did we switch from the distinction between Shas Gzela and Shas Amodz Ladin not being the change in value as a result of the maturity of the animal, but as a result of the market value and prices? Yukur Vizula. In other words, forget about the fact he's a shor. Either I replace a tleh at the value that I stole it at, or I replace dunim at the market value of what a tleh would be worth today, not a shor. When did we switch over from one to the other? Didn't we discuss the whole idea of
right. I have to go through that again. I have to go through that again. Just 1 second. Anyway, there's a Tosis here, Divya Masil Tloim, which argues with Rashi. Take a look in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Can you see Rabbeinu Tam in this Tosfos?
So which one?
Tloim. You see a Tosfos called Tloim? Do you see Rabbeinu Tam quoted there?
Four lines and bottom?
Yeah. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that the Pasuk says Gneva and the Pasuk says Chaim. Do you see that?
Right.
And he says that there's a ribui that the tashlum of Keren in tashlume kefal v'dalet v'hei, and therefore we should be mechalik between a shinui of shevach, that's called tloim, kigon tlesh and ishtobeach v'nasa ayil behemish and isyakro, shemishalim ke'ein sheganav, levein shinui shel hefseid, which is called damim, kigon shehuzla, this might be your case, Yechiel, shehuzla behemo hukkusha, shal yideze omarav shemishalim kishas hamor abedin. So again, just to try to summarize Rebbeinu Tam, because he's completely against the Zeda in how to understand this distinction that the Gemara is making of Rava. He says that it all depends. There are two different categories of Shinui. He says there's one category of Shinui which he calls Shevach, like for example a Tle becomes an Ayil, or the fluctuation in the market value goes up and appreciates in the market value. In such a case, the ganav pays ke'ein sheganav. Correct? Why? Because the ganav has a right to say, let's go back to the shas hagneva, as we discussed earlier. There's another category of shinui, says Rabbeinu Tam, which the Gemara calls damim. Rabbeinu Tam calls it a shinui shel hefseid. What does that mean, shinui shel hefseid? He says that somehow the animal goes down in value. If the animal goes down in value, then Rav says mishalim kishas hamada b'din. So again, Rav will say the plot is just getting thicker and thicker. After Rabbeinu Tam, there's a third shita in Tosus, that's the shita sari, and he wants to be mechalik. Maybe this is the most logical of them all, between shinu b'gufa b'ema and shinu b'shavya b'shuk. That if the animal changes in its goof, which he calls hikhisha or kachisha meleha, is then the ganov doesn't have to pay tashlumi dal vehei based on this shinui haguf. Why? Because that's a shinui haguf, and the gazlan is not responsible for that. He'll pay kishas hagneva, and that's the brisa that we discussed. Then he says, just 1 second. Then he says, "Kisha behema notra kiheyosa b'shas hagneva shen siaku abehemus ohuzlu." So it's not a shinui in the goof; the animal is exactly identical as it were, but the change is in the market conditions. Then mishalem aganav tashlume kefil dalvadehei kishavya b'shas hamoda b'din. So again, any change in the physical animal, the physical structure of the animal, is not something that you could hold the gazlan responsible about for, and therefore, even though it's worth a lot more now, b'shas ha-tvicha, the gazlan, the ganav, doesn't have to pay anything beyond the shas gzela. He's not responsible for shinui aguf. But if, on the other hand, there was shinui in the fluctuation, the market fluctuation, that's where Rav says that you pay dalit v'hei kishas hamor
b'din. Why is he more responsible for that?
Again, I don't think he's more responsible, but in such a case, the Re would argue, since you're evaluating the object, and Bezdin is going to establish, based on that evaluation, how much you should pay, that penalty called Dal Vehei, Bezdin has the, shall I say, the obligation to say, you know what? Pay Kishas HaModa B'din. Why? Because the animal is worth that much more. But well, in the case of Shini Aguf, then he doesn't have to pay. Right. So Rabbo said, basically, this Tosfos will require an entire sugya unto itself.